This is CliffCentral.com.
All right, hello. It is the 15th of March, Leanne.
Oh, is that what it is?
It's here, the 15th of March.
It's the middle of March.
Yeah, how nice is that, eh? Sia, you with us?
Good morning.
Hi, Sia.
All right, Sia's also with us virtually. This is the three of us. Gareth is still in France.
Hitting the slopes.
He's hitting the slopes. He's hitting the jaw, but... Gareth's trolling hard, hey? I mean, he's a bit old for midlife crisis now, but he's going to something. Good for him. Really good for him. If you follow him on the Instagram, I think it's GR Cliff. He's planning up a storm, huh? He's an Alpe d'Huez. Alpe d'Huez. Do you want to read it?
Yes.
Yeah, he's having a good time.
You can pronounce it, because I've been stuck trying to bite my tongue every single time.
Yeah, well, see, the funny thing is, when you try to pronounce things with the dodgy Skype line, it really does sound beautiful. I've actually been to Alpe d'Huez when I was 12. I just kind of did like a little trip to France with my parents, and it was actually very interesting, because in summer, you get these amazing mountains, okay, and it's green and
beautiful. Do they disappear in winter?
Well, they just become these white wonderlands. So it's a fascinating place because of the mountains. If you do enjoy cycling, you watch the Tour de France, or I don't know, if you watch Sound of Music or wherever else uses those mountains.
That's where I've heard the name.
Yeah.
Alpe d'Huez is watching the Tour de France.
Yeah, but they're amazing. So you go up these switchback sort of roads, and these roads are small. Like, you'd think you can probably die on them. So you get to the top, and there's all these, like, these great villages, and there's, like, just a culture of, obviously, in Europe, you know, Europe's been around for a long, long time, with civilized societies. And then in winter, they just become, like, these ski places. And then in summer, they're just rolling hills and beautiful.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mentally, I
want to go there right now. It'd be better than being here on a Friday.
Yeah, I've got a bit of travel hater vibe going on right now.
But, Leanne, you're going away next week, aren't you?
No.
Next month.
Yes, I am, but only in May, so not next month.
I was close. If you gave me 5 more seconds, I would have eventually got to May through a process of elimination.
I had to look at the calendar again to figure out where we are, even though you've just told us it's the 15th of March.
So, Sia, where the hell are you and why aren't you here?
Well, I'm in Cape Town, and I have some work to do with a client. I hope the Skype line is sounding a little better now.
Yeah, it's fine. As soon as you minimized that other site that you normally watch this time of day, it's fine.
You mean Oprah.com?
Yeah. Shit, yeah, speaking of Oprah, I'm totally hooked on Gail here. Gail's my new favorite investigative journalist.
Yeah.
Well, I'm soon you and I will be... You know, you'll have Oprah.com bookmarked on your laptop as well. They'll bring about school. They'll be changing the world.
I take it back. Your Skype line is horrendous.
Yeah, we only got about 20% of what you said.
All I heard was Ben. All I heard was Ben as my mentor. I really enjoy the fact that we have more in common now
than bookmark.
Usual. And bookmark. And chicken sandwich.
Yeah.
But just speaking of Gail, you know, obviously, the huge story right now is a terrorist attack in New Zealand.
Yes.
Which we'll get to in the 5 things you need to know. Yeah, that's just a horrible way to start a Friday. Actually, I look at a lot of my stories that like I've kind of got like primed for today. Not a lot of great stories.
But that's because a whole lot of stuff has happened in the last... while we were sleeping.
But this is what I find that's difficult about having a show like we do. Obviously, you know, we try to bring you what's happening in the world, but we also try to keep things like quite positive and upbeat, especially on a Friday.
Yeah, and then you get mosque attacks, and it's just not that upbeat.
After a night of load shedding, I mean, I couldn't even watch The Bachelor last night. I had no power. Sia, did you watch The Bachelor?
No, I'm not home, so I can't at all. This is the first time.
What do you mean you're not home? You can't at all. Are you staying in a bus shelter?
No, I'm in a hotel room with limited channels.
And clearly limited Wi-Fi as well.
Okay, let me just have one quick comment and then I'll just spare you all and just end the call here. Leanne, I advise. We were chatting on Tuesday about hotel rooms.
Are you having a stroke, Sia?
Yeah, I don't know if it's working, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Maybe we should try to speak to Sia a little bit. Like maybe in 20 minutes or so.
So yeah, if you bark twice if you're in Denver.
It's fine. I'll talk to you guys later then.
All right, bye, Steve. Have a lovely Friday. Watching way too much porn in the background.
He's used and up all of his free data.
And that strangles the bandwidth. Strangles the bandwidth. Yeah, so I'm looking at all these different stories and going through it, you think, like, oh, there's so much depressing stuff here. But Gail, wow, I mean, I always thought Gail was just Oprah's kind of, you know, part of her Bermuda Triangle of love with Stedman, but she's actually really good. You know, she's been giving gears to R. Kelly, and then she's been interviewing other people.
Yeah, the girls, their parents.
And their parents, yeah. How about this? How about this? Gail. No, that's not Gail.
She's really coming into her own.
Gail, yeah. I mean, if anything, I think Oprah's almost looking a bit staged and a bit tired compared to Gail.
Situation. Only on CBS This Morning, Gail, parents of one of R. Kelly's live-in girlfriends say she is trapped in what they call a monstrous situation. Only on CBS This Morning, Alice and Angelo Clary reveal why they are now afraid for their daughter's, Asriel's, life. It is their first interview since the scathing Lifetime documentary Surviving R. Kelly. Asriel Clary met the singer back in 2015. She was 17 at the time. Her parents claim that Kelly promised to help launch her singing career. They say they have learned since then that his real interest, in their words, was a little more sinister. I spoke with them yesterday about how this all started, and they say that just 3 days after meeting R. Kelly, their daughter went to a hotel to meet him without their permission. They were furious and went knocking on hotel doors to find her.
What she said was, this was an audition. Why wouldn't you trust me? Y'all would think I would put myself in a predicament and not call y'all if something wasn't right.
She's saying you're messing up my chances.
Exactly. And that's exactly what she said. This is my opportunity. This is my big break.
Tempers eventually cooled. And the Clarys say they actually developed a professional relationship with R. Kelly over the next few months, even pitching various business deals, all of which he rejected. The Clarys say the singer had his own proposal. Let Asriel join him on his tour full time.
He flew us into Chicago. We sat with him in his studio. We met with him. And he basically told us, you know, yeah, I'm starting tour. You know, basically, y'all need to make a decision.
Okay, this is quite a long interview because Gail's thorough. Yeah, she really gets in.
Yeah, she digs deep.
She's like a good masseuse. She'll really get to the heart of the problem. So I don't want to play this whole thing for you, but I think you see the trend here is that predators like R. Kelly, what they do is they identify a situation, okay? So these parents, they seem quite young parents, and they're pitching business ideas to him. So clearly they see R. Kelly as like this meal ticket, right? Mm. Then the daughter wants to become a star, which is a disaster in itself. So R. Kelly looks at this and goes, okay, well, I can just keep feeding lies to the parents, entertain these crackpot ideas they've got of business or whatever. He had no interest in that, never did. And then what he'll do is he'll just sort of like groom the kid and then take the kid away.
Lovely.
No. But I was having a chat to a friend of mine yesterday about like Netflix documentaries and how documentaries are becoming quite a big deal now. People are almost getting a little bit over series and that kind of stuff because all these documentaries are so sick and sordid because like the truth's way worse than fiction a lot of the time.
And they're so good, and it's becoming almost like a cult and an obsession to watch these documentaries.
Yeah, and there's always like abduction things into abduction in plain sight. Apparently, you got to watch this. You know, obviously, we spoke about the whole Madeleine McCann documentary is coming up, but Abducted in Plain Sight apparently is just. It's crazy, but these again, it's like this very weird people. Like they let this guy.
I woke up.
Oh.
It was dark.
Oh.
I had the sensation that I was moving, but I was laying on a bed. My wrists and my ankles both had straps around them. I couldn't move. This monotone voice kept talking in my ear. It looked like a little white intercom looking box that I could see to the side of my pillow. And I immediately thought I'd been kidnapped by a UFO.
Gee whiz.
Okay, so that was maybe one day of her life she wouldn't want back, but apparently this abducted in plain sight. I'm sorry if there's any sort of spoilers, but this neighbor, I mean, these parents, of course, are just fucking terrible. You know, we spoke on Wednesday about shitty parents. They just like this guy was like, oh, I want to take your daughter like horse riding. Oh, okay. Mm. Takes the daughter away, and then it's like, well, we will kind of, no, you're not going to have her back. If you allow me to marry her, then I'll set her kind of sort of free. But then she's my bride.
Jeez.
Oh, there's
just, ooh, that's scary.
Yeah, this isn't Friday talk, though. It really isn't Friday talk. I'm trying so hard to find good things about this. Oh. So, Leanne didn't watch The Bachelor because she had no power. I didn't watch The Bachelor because I had no power, because we live in this shithole where these dickbags who run the country just think that they can just... I don't even have words anymore, and it's no Politics Friday, but anyway. So we will try update you on The Bachelor on Monday. I'm going to watch it over the weekend. Leanne obviously will watch it over the weekend as well.
That's a good idea.
And then Monday we can have like a little dash on The Bachelor. But you know, obviously there was so much drama last night. Obviously.
I mean, it goes without saying.
Obviously. I don't know what the drama was, but yeah, there was quite a lot of it. I actually don't want to cover this terrorist story right now either. Basically some guy...
It's all unfolding still. It's happened at two mosques in Christchurch in New Zealand. The Bangladeshi cricket team actually was almost involved. They were arriving at the mosque when the attack started.
Yeah.
There's a video of them shown walking away from the mosque and the sirens and vehicles going in the opposite direction. Multiple deaths have been confirmed. We don't have proper numbers yet. There's quite a bit of chaos, actually, and the police press conference has been pushed back to 5:30 p.m. local time there, if you want to try and work that one out. But it's one of these stories where you just kind of have to follow the updates online on CNN because little bits of information are coming up all the time, but it's pretty clear that this is a terror attack. And New Zealand's Prime Minister is calling this New Zealand's darkest day.
It really is, because nothing happens in New Zealand other than just like rugby and places where people go to because they feel safe and all that kind of stuff. Like, it's a very chilled place.
Yeah.
But yeah. Dickery is everywhere. That's the whole thing about dickery. It's universal. This is one story I do find kind of funny, okay? So, you know, like Goodfellas, The Godfather. Let me rephrase that, because when you hear the story, you probably think I'm a sadist. I find it kind of funny because, you know, like the whole mobster kind of thing.
Yeah.
Which was portrayed in those movies. Like, it's still actually a part of life. It really is. Like, there are actually full-on real-life gangsters still living.
Oh, yeah.
And they still have, like, from the Sicilian family.
The mafia still exists.
And, like, the Gambinos and all that kind of stuff. Well, the main guy got assassinated.
New Yorkers are waking up to what could be the city's biggest mob hit in more than 30 years. Francesco Cali, known as Frankie Boy, was shot to death outside his home last night. The 53-year-old was thought to be the leader of the notorious Gambino crime family, one of the five that historically have run organized crime in the New York City area. Nikki Batiste is following the investigation.
Units responding to shots fired approach tactically.
Police swarmed Francesco Cali's Staten Island home Wednesday night after he was gunned down outside and reportedly run over.
Do you have a further description for the purpose? Just a blue pickup at this time.
All we have is a blue pickup, apparently.
The reputed head of the Gambino crime family. Cali was believed to have also had ties to the Sicilian mafia. An assistant U.S. attorney reportedly once said Cali was seen as a man of influence and power by organized crime members in Italy. In 2008, he was arrested in New York City with dozens of other mobsters and their associates. He pleaded guilty to extortion and was released from prison in 2009. Less than a decade later, the man known as Frankie Boy reportedly took...
Frankie Boy. Frankie Boy. It's like, it's just all to script. It's all to script. Yeah. And I bet like he was about to go get a sausage for his mom or something.
Over as the Gambino family boss.
Sit down, have a drink. Come on. Give us a drink. Get them all a drink here. Good.
Once one of the most powerful crime families in the country, members of the Gambino family were portrayed in films like Goodfellas. In 1985, Gambino crime boss Paul Castellano was shot dead outside of a Manhattan steakhouse. The hit was allegedly ordered by one of his associates, John Gotti. In the 1980s and 90s, the Gambino family became synonymous with Gotti, who took over shortly after Castellano's death. But in 1992, when he was sentenced to life in prison for ordering Castellano's murder and other crimes, the family's influence waned. According to local reports, Cowley led the family quietly, unlike the flashy and highly visible Gotti. With Cowley's murder, the family and the mafia are back in the spotlight.
Well, I tell you what, in the 90s, a lot of those people should have been arrested just for the suits they were wearing.
The names they have.
Material was so cheap in the 90s. It really was.
So shiny.
It was so cheap, but it was so shiny. Yeah. Leanne, is there any good stories that you want to kind of share from this week?
It's really difficult to find the good.
This is exactly why we have a Bachelor feature every Friday.
Yeah, exactly.
This is it. If you guys ever wondered.
Mozambique is bracing itself for what they're calling a worst-case scenario storm.
God, yeah, that's not a very good story.
Cyclone Idai. I mean, it's just like, what? Hashtag what?
Okay, so that means more rain for us as well.
It does, and I'm sure that we'll feel the effects, but... Yeah, we know how storms go down in Mozambique, and it's never a good thing.
So you know that woman who jumped the fence trying to get a selfie with the jaguar?
Yes, and it was consequently attacked and bitten quite badly and mauled.
Scraped and mauled. Yeah, anyway, this I was going to say, she's a dumb bitch. She now says that the zoo must increase their security.
No, she must increase her brain.
Yeah, she must increase her brain, although that's a bit of a stretch. But she did. She came out and she said that the they should improve the safety of the zoo.
No. Woman, seriously, you stepped over the boundary and went literally into far too close to the enclosure. No. That is not... And it's a jaguar. I mean, we all have Google. We know what these animals can do.
Yeah, exactly. I'll tell you what is actually very interesting. There's this, what's her name? Urshad Manji. Now, I it's so great to always hear like logical thought in the sea of bullshit nowadays. She is the author of Don't Label Me, which don't judge a book by its cover, because I know people always talk about labels and there's a lot of crap about this. But listen to this woman's insights. I mean, these are the kind of people that really should be vaunted into the limelight in life. Not like people trying to stroke a jaguar or just people with shit identity politics. Just listen to the sense this woman makes.
I'm Irshad Manji. I'm an educator and author of the new book, Don't Label Me. And I'm here to propose that while more and more schools are teaching young people how not to be offensive, they also need to be teaching a new generation how not to be offended. First, giving offense is the price of diversity, not an impediment to diversity. Now, by diversity, I mean more than different complexions and genders and religions. I also mean different points of view. For example, I'm a Muslim, and I believe in reconciling my faith with freedom. Some Muslims are appalled by my viewpoint. Others are delighted by it. Most are somewhere in between, which goes to show that even within groups, there is diversity. Teaching young people how not to be offended is to equip them to embrace people as complex individuals and not just as mascots of this or that tribe. The second reason for teaching kids how not to be offended: we grow by engaging those with whom we disagree. When we take offense, we're in reactive mode. And we miss opportunities to ask people why they believe what they do. Whenever I've asked that of fellow Muslims who are outraged, with which I can reframe my arguments in ways that they can hear. By refusing to be offended that they're offended, I've been able to stand my ground while seeking common ground. And that's necessary in our hyper-polarized times. All this brings me to the third reason that schools should be teaching students the how of not taking offense at everything. It's a life skill. No matter what kind of life you have, to tackle nagging problems in your family, with friends, at work, in the wider world, you need buy-in. How do you get it? Not by finding excuses to shame the holdouts, but by hearing them out. Look, I'm not saying that we should clam up whenever we encounter intolerance or outright hate. Of course we should stand up to it. The operative question is how. Bruce Lee said, be like water. Water can't predict where it needs to go, just as humans don't know what the future holds. But water always finds a way around or over or through obstacles, not by labeling them, not by demanding that they disappear, but by treating them with grace. Think of it as moral martial arts. I'd go to school for that.
Please, can she just be everything of life? The president, she can do Brexit, she can fire all of ESCOM, everything. Like, that's just so smart.
Yeah, here's the stuff. Just please sort it out.
Like, it's just so smart. The whole, like, the analogy at the end about, you know, be like water rather than always, like, just be fluid and work things out rather than just, like, no, I demand this and you must stop that. Oh, can you imagine kids actually would grow up like that nowadays? Because I shudder to think the kind of crap they're being fed and how everyone's so special and you can be offended by everything.
Like, she's the type of person who's allowed to breed.
Yes, there we go. There we go. She has her breeding license on the back of that back of that monologue alone. You know, obviously Michael Jackson's been in the news, and I think we've covered him so much. And I would like to not cover any more Michael Jackson this week. But this one funny thing that came out. There's this clip on YouTube. It's called "Songs We Thought Were Sung by Black People."
Oh yeah.
It's pretty funny. Let me play it for you.
But they weren't.
Okay, so. Like, I mean, some of them are like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that person's not black. And some of them, like, you kind of know. So this is, okay. See if you can pick up who these people are. I came back to let you know. White guy. Got a thing for you. And I can't let go. In Palmer, you know they're going to miss on the Aquaman.
No.
Yeah. It's in the name. Yeah, she's white. Who's that, Ian?
Oh, gosh.
Michael McDonald.
There he is.
Oh, my gosh.
But was he black?
Michael is probably at his whitest in this music video. So much so that he's actually shiny. All you can do is just pick out his, like, mouth and nose and eyes.
There you go.
So the first guy in this in a clip, Bobby Caldwell. You remember him? Ever heard of him?
No, I can't say I have.
Like this, you'd be forgiven to think this is a black guy. A very soulful, rich voice. White dude. Just to find the love within. I came back to let you know. Got a thing for you, and I can't let go. So imagine this guy on The Voice, okay? He comes out, everyone's going back towards them, and they go, wow, what a great soulful singer. But I'm in the day. And then there's like a white guy in a beard. Amazing voice, Bobby Caldwell.
Sounds good.
Incredible.
That series on at the moment with the masked singer would be like that, where you'd get a complete shock if you took the suit and the mask off.
See, I'd prefer my Friday to always sound like Bobby Caldwell's voice rather than the news stories.
Right, that's now. The epitome of what a Friday should sound like.
All right, so you're welcome messages, of course, 0797482090. We've got George Meany coming in a little bit later to talk about the world of cars. Always wraps up the week as that. Leah, I think we should sort of just break tradition here, not go through the five things you need to know.
Well, purely because they've changed since, you know, we set some things up last night. Everything's happened overnight. Of course, there's the New Zealand mosque shooting, which information is still coming to light. Let's just take it as it comes.
Yeah, again, so, you know, this week, again, there was a big Facebook outage.
Right.
Yeah, so this is a genuine thing, okay? A genuine thing. People were calling the cops to basically report this.
Okay.
And police, in all their time and all the things they have to do, they had to physically actually go about telling people that Facebook being out is not a crime, it's not a problem. So it's actually New Zealand was clearly having a tough week. Canterbury police had to issue the statement. We know our Facebook and Instagram hasn't been working either. Unfortunately, we can't do anything about this because, you know, they're based in America and we're the police. So don't call us to report this. Pretty please. They actually say pretty please at the end.
Okay. You see, now New Zealand has just gone and disappointed me to think that there are people who actually phoned the police over Facebook.
Yeah, there's not going
working.
On in that country.
Facebook and Instagram are reportedly experiencing mass outages this morning. Users worldwide say they are receiving a message claiming the sites are down for maintenance. The social network took to Twitter explaining they are working to resolve the issue, and Queensland police are saying, please don't call 000. I know.
Yeah, I know, she says.
Oh, that woman is horrified. Absolutely horrified.
Oh, goodness me.
So there's a guy who's been, it's no easy way to say this, but he has found that women basically can be, you can decode them via their nails.
All right, guys. I had so many bros always ask me, Rocky, how do you know the signs? How do you know that she was going to break my heart? How do you know that she was going to rob me from my dignity? How do you know every single time? After countless hours of research and asking bros around the world, I've come up with a foolproof survival guide. Nails at first sight.
So my so Rocky's been seen as a bit of a, not like a woman whisperer, but he's helping the bros out because the bros are so tired of
getting it wrong.
Of meeting girls they think are alright and then they're just absolute psychos or they just wreck their shit. So Rocky has decided to take upon himself to actually issue this guide to the rest of the world that you just look at a woman's nails. And from there, you can judge if they're worth hanging out with or if they're, you got to run away from them.
Bros don't get hurt again. All right, so the most crucial thing a bro needs is...
He's made a flip file.
Like oh, my gosh.
High school flip file that he goes through. On Twitter, his handle is It's Rocky with 3 Ks.
Then is color, 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 okay? So right here, we're going to have the nude colors. I call these the safe color shades, guaranteed. Guaranteed to be safe. You can sleep with 2 eyes closed. You don't have to hold your balls while you're sleeping, and you might expect breakfast in the morning. Okay, so these are the cautious colors. It's going to be the white, the black, and the French nails. Can be safe, can be dangerous, can be normal, can be crazy. I just don't know, okay? 50-50. All right here we're going to have the danger colors. That's going to be the green, the red, the orange, and the yellow. All right? Please, bros, I beg of you, get health insurance. If you're going to be partying and hanging out with this, get health insurance. Another thing I want to let you guys know is stay away from yellow, most importantly. If she has the courage to get yellow nails, she has the courage to chop up your balls. All right, so once we're done with colors, we're going to look at shapes. Shapes equal the mood. So the ones that would stay...
Okay, so this is
don't
where...
Don't be so serious about it.
So Rocky's put time and effort in. Like, literally, in his flip file, he's got, like, diagrams, he's got, like, captions, the whole
That's
deal.
That's brilliant.
But now, this is where I kind of maybe agree with Rocky, in that women in the shapes of their nails. There are women out there who have the craziest, most outrageous shapes.
The sharp talons are all the rage.
Yeah, anyway, back to Rocky.
Away from is Mountain Peak, Stiletto, and Arrowhead, okay? They're not sharp for no reason. They're fucking weapons. Weapons of mass destruction. They are meant to hurt you. So next, we're going to go to size. Girls always say size does not matter. Wrong. Size does matter. Here, we're going to have the regular nails. So the signs that you might see, girls, don't get mad at me. I said might, okay? Pumpkin spice latte, face mask, Lululemon. It's not ombre. It's Balage. I hope I'm saying that right.
Bellage.
You guys always get mad at me when I say it right. All right, brunch on Sundays. All right, so we're going to go a size up to medium nails. So if you really pay attention, I did upgrade the stats a little bit. Now they do have weapon power, so be careful on that one. So the signs you might see, you ain't shit. Oh, my God, Zoddy. Venmo me $5, see what happens. Very, very, very messy car. God bless, dude. Fucking dirty, filthy. And the key to the heart is Shaboom Boba. Guaranteed. Every single time. So we're going to level up. So you know when you're playing a video game and you get to that last boss?
Wow, okay.
This is...
Rocky has found... Rocky's world is not a place I actually want to live in anymore. So, but like these pointy nails, Dan, you're right, they are all the rage, but they look like weapons.
Yeah. Talons. They're filed into shapes of actual knives and combs and all sharp things. It's just, yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, look, I get if you're going to comb your hair and that kind of stuff, but ultimately...
I'm wearing red nail polish at the moment, so I'm apparently in the danger zone along with the yellows.
You're in the danger zone.
But they certainly aren't sharp, they're short and bland. So no danger there. But that is, I mean, half of the terms he was using, I didn't even know about. He's really done his research. Crazy.
Leanne, you know what we're going to do? We're going to play a song to sever all the bad stories from earlier and go on to your Friday. Just a couple of messages to look at here. No, we do not want the link to the video of the shooting.
No, and Christchurch police are also begging that people don't share it.
Yeah, this is the sickness of this morning's crime, is that the guy actually live-streamed basically opening fire on people, and this is going around. So, yeah, maybe don't share that, because then that's exactly what the guy wanted. He wanted to become a viral success, which is a very strange...
Don't feed the trolls.
...kind of thing. Graham Armstrong, guys, I've been listening to Cliff Central for years now. I'm a dedicated fan. Up at 6, and first protocol is Cliff Central. But I literally cannot listen on Thursdays. Postmodern pumi and a denial of objective truth are just too painful to listen to. That and an outright hatred of anything DA, Afro, Fordham, and white is about as obvious as tribal tattoos on the East Rand thug. Graham, thanks for feedback on that. Be duly posted to the powers that be. I'm not here on Thursday, so I'll take your word for it. Ankia says, Ben, please can you give me some super accurate predictions? I'm trying to kick my fiance's ass, and the only knowledge I have of this is what I hear from you talk about sport. This is a mean joke on him, but I still want to kick his ass. Thanks, Ankia. Ankia, I think I'm going to say this nicely. I don't really watch much Super Rugby, so I'm going to give you advice, but don't you dare hold me to it.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's dreadful. Anyway, I need to get a cup of coffee. I was going to straighten my back out. Yes, you weren't here Wednesday.
No.
I had a massive bitch about that.
Oh, dear.
Well,
let's catch up over coffee.
This is CliffCentral.com.
All right, happy Friday. Welcome to it. Sorry, we just had so many shitty stories, and it just dawned on me that we can't really go through a Friday with just a deluge of crappy stories.
It's not our fault.
It's not our fault, but...
It's just the way of life this week, this day.
It really is, and if you are looking for the Bachelor wrap-up, unfortunately we can't give it to you either, because there was load shedding last night. In this shithole stand that we find ourselves in.
Yeah. So, let's talk about something really Friday-ish, and that's going out for a good rum.
Okay.
Do you enjoy rum?
Yeah, and that was probably one of the first things I ever vomited on, so I can't. You know, you always had that first thing. For a lot of people, it's peach schnapps. Let's actually bring Pinky in here. Pinky, you've been here for how many weeks now? Pinky's running things inside here.
I don't even know, hey?
You've been here for a while. It's
probably, what, a month now?
Yeah, four or five weeks.
I was going with 2 years, but yeah, here you are. do you ever drink rum? What was the first thing that you got like violently ill on?
Sorry?
What was the first drink that you kind of got ill on?
Tequila, but it was only after like 3 years of just drinking tequila. Then when I got to my third year, I just couldn't take it anymore.
Wow. Interesting. Yeah. So you started classy though.
Yeah. I thought it wasn't a good start.
Like for some it's like OBs, you know, sherry.
No, generally when you're young you steal whatever you can find. So like
mine was all the colours of the vodka.
My mom used to buy alcohol.
No, sambuca, sorry.
Your mom used to buy alcohol.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
See, that's actually really responsible. So at least then she's giving you decent stuff.
And she knows how much that you're actually having.
Okay.
So the new craft beverage in South Africa seems to be rum. So we've gone through our beers, we've gone through gins, and, you know, trendy gin bars are still popping up on every corner.
I genuinely believe we've gone to rum because we've run out of everything else. We've crafted everything.
We may have, but it is experiencing resurgence, no doubt. And it's thanks to the recent spike in rum sales abroad. So we're following international trends.
Yeah, but the thing about rum is that, like, okay, you get white rum, okay? So that's a mix that you can do things with that. Dark rum is for sailors. There's no two ways about it.
Well, it's kind of Captain Jack Sparrow's drink of choice, or his key dietary component.
If you tell me that you're craving a nice dark rum, you're either fixing cars or you're sailing around the world with other men. It is such a hard kind of drink. Like, there's just so much in it. It's like you put molasses in a blender and then added booze.
That's it's not the type of thing that you imagine having neat. You know, you kind of, there's the whole rum and coke things. But you can't really imagine putting just a few blocks of ice into, a rum. But as they're becoming more and more refined and more craft and more flavors are being infused into them, this is becoming quite popular. So obviously there are cocktails to be made with all of this rum. So those are continuing to be a trend, but even more so with these more refined rums. So yeah, if you're looking for a way to kick your newly found gin habit, you can maybe turn to rum. Start on that. So apparently, if you want to get technical, there are, for example, four expressions of Richland rum. They're composed as Virgin Coastal Georgia Rum, Old South Georgia Rum, Chateau Elan Port Cask Exchange, and Old South Georgia Rum Terrapin Double IPA Cask Exchange. Did you know rums could be that fancy?
Well, you can. You can fancy up anything, really.
Yeah. So, yeah, who knows? Let's see. Let's see what happens. There might be lots of fancy rum bottles hitting the gram before we know it.
Yeah, well, like each of their own. But again, like with it becoming winter now, it is maybe something that we need to look into.
And I have to say, like, a rum and coke, there is something about it. It's almost like a rum and raisin ice cream.
It's that frothy head that gets delivered on a rum and coke. That's pretty much a big deal. We're going to take one more story before we get to the sports, and then obviously Anki's much anticipated Super Brew picks. There is a guy who is being cleared of HIV, apparently.
What?
This is a pretty happy story. Well, stem cell treatment. Oh, God, I need some stem cells. If anyone's got stem cells out there, please,
like,
can I have them? Yeah. God, it's taken a really bad turn, although I'm kind of more heavily medicated now. Anyway, no, this is about the guy who got cleared of AIDS. A much bigger story than my back.
It's been very useful for science and for giving hope to HIV-positive people.
Timothy was cleared of HIV in Germany 12 years ago using stem cell donations. He's now walking a dog. similar treatment was used in a London patient, and it's become the second person, so it looks like HIV is finally...
I would like to meet the London patient very much. I would say take your time in. If you want to become public, do it. It's not really a burden that I'm going through with media and stuff like that. It's actually fun. You can share in the fun.
Well, I've got to say, I expected a little bit more out of the interview. The guy's just been cleared of AIDS. It looks like someone's just giving him, like, ice cream. I mean, dude, like, jeepers. But that is quite something.
I bet internally he's bouncing with joy.
He's just overwhelmed with happiness and stuff. But that really is just, again, like, when you look at science and you get these woke fucktards who are always questioning things and calling it, like, science and civilization, we're going somewhere. People just need to get out of the way. Like, we can do everything in this world.
Absolutely. Move, bitch, get out the way.
We can do absolutely everything in this world, but stupidity gets in the way. I mean, stem cells have just cleared HIV. HIV kills people. I mean, it's a dreadful disease. It really is. Well, the complications caused by HIV, or I always get that wrong, HIV and AIDS. Anyway, not good to have HIV. Stem cell treatment. Hey-ho, look at that. So let's get into some sport because, of course, it's Friday, and that means you've gone through an entire week where you've been wanting the weekend, and it's here. Friday is everyone's favorite day, except for Leanne's, but that's her own thing, and that is her cross to bear.
It's almost Monday anyway.
And it's not your cross to bear. But Leanne, I mean, surely Friday is nice for you because you get to drink.
Well, that's every day. I make it just a Friday.
This is fair. I shall not make any more outrageous claims. Okay.
Are you having a challenge, Ben?
My computer's having a challenge.
I don't know.
Challenge averted. So So, this week was a big week of comebacks. Juventus came back brilliantly in the Champions League. They beat Atletico Madrid 3-0, so they go through an aggregate. And, of course, Man United fans are still talking about their massive comeback against PSG. So, in the Europa League, of course, which is a much lesser league and there's a lot less people care about it, but Arsenal, they were 3-0 down to Rennes, which is a bunch of French guys, I think. And last night, they were 3-1 down after the first leg, and everything looked dreadful. Because remember, Arsenal aren't guaranteed of a fourth place finish in the Premier League. I know they're looking pretty good where they are currently sitting, but if you win the Europa League, which is always Arsenal's plan since they couldn't make the Champions League anymore, you go through to the Champions League. That's where you want to be in life. So they beat Rennes 3-0 last night, which is really great. They go through 4-3 on the aggregate. Chelsea, another English team that people care about, they were in it, and they're just way too good for Dynamo Kiev. 8-0 on aggregate there. They won 5-0 away from home. That is huge, absolutely huge. If you are looking for football on the closest to home, there is the Absolute Premiership this weekend, of course. Supersport United will be taking on Kaiser Chiefs. There's your really big match from the weekend. Blum Celtic versus Blum Budapest Wits at 8, and then Cape Town City versus Polokwane City also. That's all tonight, Friday. And then tomorrow, Free State Stars and Mazulu, and then Chipper United versus Highlands Park. So a big weekend there. In the English Premier League, which is, of course, the two-horse race that we speak about, a lot of games have been postponed, so it's not a really big weekend here. The games that you do want to kind of watch out for there would be Bournemouth versus Newcastle, Burnley versus Leicester, and West Ham versus Huddersfield, all the same time on Saturday. And then Sunday, Fulham versus Liverpool, Everton versus Chelsea. But yeah, let's get into the rugby. Of course, it is the big Super Rugby. Is it called Super Rugby? Yes, it's called Super Rugby. I know they dabbled with Super 15 for a while, but then they just thought it'd be Infinity teams, so this is called Super Rugby instead. Now, the weekend teams, it always kind of starts off with a big game on the weekend. It played in New Zealand, Chiefs versus the Hurricanes. Okay, so Anki, this is where the information becomes very, very technical. The Chiefs have been so dogshit terrible this entire season so far. I mean, I don't know if they're drinking. I don't know if they just don't have the right team on the field, but they're being hammered by absolutely everyone. They got such a severe thrashing last week against the Crusaders, but there's still decent players in this team. They've still got Brodie Retallick as the captain. They've still got Damian McKenzie at the back. They've got a decent forward pack. They've got an exciting back line. Hurricanes, well, you got to think they're going to win, aren't they? Yeah, so okay, I'll go with Hurricanes over the Chiefs. That's your first match. Brumbies versus Waratahs. Going to back the Brumbies there, 10:45. And then tonight, Stormers versus the Hagawareth. That'll be at 7:10 at Newlands if you are in the area. The Hagawareth, there's always just like so much hype about them because they can be the Argentinian team, but they're not really. And then they don't really deliver. Stormers had a bye last week, so they're definitely going to be quite fresh, and they've got a good side. They really do. They still have a good side to the Stormers. And, of course, they beat the Lions and they beat the Sharks, so going to suggest the Stormers are going to be good there. Then Saturday morning, the Sunwolves, the resurgent Sunwolves, with very few Japanese players at all, which kind of defeats the object of having a Japanese team, but hey, that's a different issue. They'll be taking on the Reds at 6:15 tomorrow morning in Tokyo. They're particularly strong in Japan. In Singapore, they're not so great. So I would back the Sunwolves there for sure. And then the Highlanders. Well, the Highlanders versus the Crusaders. The Crusaders are looking so good. They always do. And the fact that they are playing some of their best rugby without some of the biggest stars just shows the incredible depth. But that's what the Crusaders have always done so well. It's in Dunedin. I'm sure all the New Zealand matches are going to be marred by this terrible terrorist attack from the weekend. From this morning. So, it'd be a huge sort of hangover for them to deal with. But the rugby will go on, and I'm going to back the Crusaders over the Highlanders there. Then the Lions versus the Rebels. You've got to think the Lions, after putting up some decent score last week against the Hagawareth, they look like a team on the up and up, and they shall beat the Rebels. Okay, if you go further, I'm not going to give you the margins. You can just guess that, because that's what Super Rugby is all about. It's all about guessing. The Bulls are doing something rather brave, Leanne. They're going to cut more than 100 contracts. Now, Alan Zondach, he's in charge of this kind of stuff. There are way too many players in South African rugby who are on these shitty little contracts, and they all believe they can be players, which is great, you know, follow your dreams and all that kind of stuff. But there are way too many guys contracted to professional contracts, so that therefore we are spreading the talent so thin as far as we can't get the money in the right places. We need to retain the talent, and we need to develop the special talent, right? Money should go for that and that alone.
Ben for coach.
Yeah, but that's the thing, because there's no point having 300 contracted players who are all right. I'd much rather have 100 really fantastic guys with plans and financial systems in place to make sure that their careers are in check and they can really go somewhere.
Quality, Ben.
Yeah, exactly. It's a quality thing, Leanne. Spot on. So the Bulls are going to be quite brave in this. I mean, we've seen the squads getting sort of whittled down a little bit across the board, but the Bulls are taking this really big sort of big stance here. And also what happened is previously, the Bulls were contracting a lot of literally kids from school. So what they want to do is they want to just basically pick up all the talent from across the country. That was their strategy back then. In the past year, they contracted as many as 54 kids from school. 54.
Sure.
And then basically SA Rugby then dumped the under-19 competition. So what normally happens is you get the under-19 and under-21, and then you get your major teams.
Mm.
There's no under-19 competition anymore, so now they have all these youths hanging around. Yeah, unfortunately, don't be youth in South Africa. But that is the way of the forward, the way of the future, all that kind of stuff. Also in rugby, the whole evolution of the World Rugby Championship, the league, all that kind of stuff. Billy Beaumont, that prick who basically gave the World Cup to France rather than South Africa for 2023, he says that this controversial shakeup would earn billions for rugby. Billy, no shit. We all know that the only reason he's doing this is for money. He believes the end. £5 billion in the next 12 years.
It's quite a bit.
Generated for global rugby because of this whole everyone must play everyone kind of thing, which, as we established a few weeks back, is absolutely stupid. So by Billy's logic, that they have to do this because they're going to make money. So Billy, it's kind of like saying, well, I've got four daughters. I can let them grow up, send them to school, see how they develop in their personalities, send them to university, and maybe they'll marry someone nice and see how it goes. What you're basically saying is, I've got four daughters. I'm going to put them all to prostitution straight away because I can make £5 billion in the next 12 years.
Mm.
That's what you're saying, Billy.
Short-term vision.
You are essentially treating rugby like prostitutes now. So I don't think that's a good plan. I really don't. I mean, what do I know? I just watch sport and I care about sport and all those kind of things. So maybe Billy's on the right track and maybe I'm just too much of a purist / romantic. But this is how you ruin things. This really is how you ruin things. And what they always do is they try to justify it with the money. They go, well, you know, guys, we can really grow the games with all the money. No, no. Just think of the prostitute analogy, Billy, and you can't go too far wrong from there. There is the Kenya Open this weekend, Leanne. The European Tour is in Karen Country Club in Nairobi. Yeah.
Very good.
And Louis Diaga leads the way. Fired a 64 on the first round, so he's there with Jack Singh Barrar. What an interesting name. B-R-A-R.
Barra?
Jack Singh Barrar. Anyway, Jack Singh Barrar also had a sterling round, 64. So that'll be on the European Tour of the weekend. The big one on the US PGA Tour, however, is the Players' Championship. No, this isn't Mr. Gary Player's event. This is what the US PGA basically calls their major, although there's always just like a shit show of arguments about saying, well, it's not the fifth major, it's only four, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, Tommy Fleetwood, he's -7. Keegan Bradley, also -7. A star-studded cast of golfers here. You got Rory McIlroy, Tiger Woods is back after his stiff neck, John Rahm's playing, Dustin Johnson's playing, all the greats are playing. It's probably the strongest field, which kind of people then say is kind of like a major, and it really is. That's the TPC Sawgrass. So that'll be taking place for the entire weekend. And finally, Leanne, you know what else is happening this weekend?
Is it golf?
Just done golf.
Is it more golf?
Just done more golf.
I don't know, Ben.
Six Nations.
Oh.
Yeah, Six Nations. It's a huge deal. Basically, it all culminates in this weekend, okay? So if you look at the log right now, Wales are the favorites.
Ooh.
Wales.
Was that expected?
Well, they were actually really good last year. So we had this little discussion end of last year after they beat a whole bunch of people. Like, Wales have got a really good record. They just sort of stay under the radar while England makes all the noise. Ireland, obviously, because they've beaten the All Blacks a couple of times last few years, and people say they were the world's best team last year. I mean, their coach was awarded world's best coach. Anyway, so Wales, they've played four, they've won four, they're on 16 points. England, they've played four, they've won three, but they've done so in a dynamic way to give them 15 points, because obviously bonus points come into play here. And Ireland as well, also on 14 points, played four, won three. So it's beautifully poised. Scotland, France, Italy, no one cares because they're not really in the mix. So it adds so much significance to the following fixtures. So tomorrow, 2:30 South African time, Italy versus France, nobody cares. These two can choose. They can run out with no pants, Leanne.
Oh.
They can play no pants rugby.
Still wouldn't be anything
Nobody
to write home about.
Because there's nothing on that match. Nothing whatsoever. The next two matches, however, this is where it gets hugely entertaining. Wales will be at home in full voice, 4:45 versus Ireland. They win that, they win the Six Nations.
Jeez.
Ireland win it, well, then it gets very interesting because in England are playing Scotland at Twickenham. Though Scotland have been disappointing this year, they're still, you know, this is the team on the up and up. So that game is going to be massive. It really will be. So if you're a neutral, obviously cheering for the Irish win, but Wales, I can't remember the last time they actually won the Six Nations. Yeah, it's a bloody fascinating. So rugby. And then also, Leanne, you know what's happening this weekend?
It's badminton?
Yes, I'm sure someone's playing badminton, but it's F1.
F1, yes.
The first F1 race. Now, I was sent a whole bunch of really strange sex videos this week of Lewis Hamilton with a whole bunch of people.
Were they like undercover videos that someone had taken? Or?
See, as much as I appreciate people sending me WhatsApp, my WhatsApp is a dirty place. And I appreciate people always send me stuff because they want me to share it or however, whatever, whatever. And I always encourage that because I like to laugh during the day. But I got sent a whole bunch of sex stuff. And like Lewis Hamilton's like making girls squirt and all kinds of stuff.
It's oh, goodness
pretty
me.
Pretty hectic. Yeah, he was with that Nicole Scherzinger.
Is it him really?
Nudes of her. And it's just too much. It's too much. Anyway, but he is the fastest. What a segue. He is the fastest in Australian GP practice. So in Melbourne, taking place this weekend, you get the first race of the Formula One season.
Very nice.
How bloody exciting is that, if you like Formula One.
I remember being into Formula One. I was married to a fanatic, and so, you know, by default, I was a massive fan, and I used to really look forward to it. I think I might get into it again.
All right. Well, we're going to wrap up the first hour with a whole bunch of messages. There are so many. Casey says, hi, Ben. I culture stem cells from rats. I will hook you up.
Sure. I think I might want to do a little bit more research before I take on rat stem cells.
Casey, look, I don't want to look a gift rat in the mouth here, but...
What must I do? And then put them on my face?
Let's see how it goes. No, you can inject them into my spine. Casey goes on to say, great show today without Sia.
Oh, burn.
Mr. Schmangel says, rum is for the devil. It's the devil's piss. It tastes like crap, but when you add Coke, it's a little bit better. But then again, I mean, you add Coke to everything, it's going to taste a bit better.
Oh, I tell you what, there's Green Island rum, which you have in the Seychelles.
Is
it the Seychelles or Mauritius? I can never remember.
Much for muchness, really.
It's the beach. Sure. And it really does, like, taste of the beach. Okay. Nice.
He goes on to say, so obviously when you put the Coke in, rum tastes better, but the next morning when you take your morning shite, you're ashamed that you drank that stuff. With that smell, you can clear...
Oh, no.
With that smell, you can clear any house of pests. Oh, and I can't remember the shit that I've done the night before. Peace, guys. Mr. Schmangels, there it is. Oh, my gosh, this guy's now sending pictures of the rats. Ugh.
He's serious about this stuff.
So I just talked about the fact that I was given all these, like, fisting videos, and now there's, like, this guy chopping rats up. Hi, Ben. That mail from Graham read the Thursday put me shit show. Couldn't have put it better myself. Only time in several years that I've actually switched off your show. My wife gave me strange looks, felt my nose, and after I was feeling okay, and for the first time in years, Cliff Central, I wasn't spoiling her early morning conversation. Thanks from Terry from Zambia. Morning, guys. I agree with Gareth around Pumi. Okay, there's a bit of a trend going here. There seems to be a lot of messages around this kind of theme. Hit the nail on the head. Graham is right. I also... Okay. All right. Totally agree with... Jeepers. Okay. And then...
Yes, go on, Ben.
Again, I'm not here on Thursday.
Same for me. So we're a little lost in that.
Yeah. So, when did Gareth become a raver?
Ben likes this.
Anushka says he's been raving in SA, now he's raving in France. Yeah, that's the great thing when you get to Gareth's age. You know, you try, you know, rediscover your youth and all that kind of stuff. It's great. He's happy. If Gareth's happy, I'm happy.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
All right.
You know who's not happy is a grandfather in Australia who had to drive himself to hospital with quite a big wound. But yeah. he made it.
We're going to pick it up in the second hour because I'm still trying to digest these rats that I've just seen being cut up on the table.
We'll give you time.
Oh, geez, I'm going to help optations here. So you carry on with the messages 079-748-2090. Sia's in Cape Town doing Sia stuff and Gareth in France. But Leanne and I are here with you for the second hour. And George Meany will be coming in at the end to wrap up from the world of cars. Of course, the Auto Trader Car of the Year Awards is coming to a very exciting position where the cars have been decided, they're going to be judged, and George will have all the latest in that. And we'll catch you that second hour, Friday, 15th of March, Leanne.
Very good.
It is that day.
This is CliffCentral.com.